And the PSC, is it entirely Doyle appointees now?
Yeah, I was the last Thompson appointment. Mm-hmm. Governor Thompson appointed me, I think, in January, February, right before he left. So I was the last one. Now, yeah, now it's all the appointees of the governor. Mm-hmm. Governor Doyle.
Any thoughts on the... has that changed the board?
I don't think so, because I think, to a large part, everyone would be surprised. Obviously, I'm a Republican, and my colleagues were Democrat, but it was a very collegial body, because the energy issues that we face in Wisconsin, there's not a big partisan divide over those issues. I mean, people play that up, I think, in the political disagreements, but, 98% of the time, or 95% of the time, we were agreeing. I would dissent on some things. Mm-hmm. I think while I was there, the major decisions that we approved, like Arrowhead Weston and the coal fire plant, they were all 3-0. I mean there was no significant disagreement. I mean, there may be at the edges with certain issues within an order, but they were great. I didn't see it as much as, I mean, there obviously a lot of the things that we do in energy policy today are carrying out actions that the legislature and the governor have enacted into law, like the 10% renewable portfolio standard. That is not something regulators are tasked with implementing that law, and there's obviously off ramps if the costs are so significant we couldn't meet them in the future, but those issues, energy policy at a national level is very controversial in terms of developing, depending on your perspective, what is the right energy what is the right mix of, energy conservation, renewables, and the traditional way of providing electricity or in terms of fuel sources. Obviously, there's controversy regarding nuclear and coal, and, mm-hmm. But I think largely while I served on the commission, I think you'll see in the future that regardless of your political affiliation, there are tough regulatory decisions that require the commission to, advance the state's energy policy. And I think that is something that, that falls on the commission to execute. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin has shown a leadership role in the development of renewables and promoting energy conservation, and that will continue. And there will continue to be thorny issues that pop up in terms of, future power plant applications, sure. More transmission lines. Obviously, the West Middleton line is very controversial. There's a lot of people in Dane County that are concerned about it. Those issues don't go away.
The Cassville plant, I think, was just returned to Alliant for the second time for because of incompleteness or
right.
Inaccuracies or something like that. Is that unusual for that to happen twice?
No, when I was at the commission, that's an administrative determination. That's not a policy judgment of any commission. It's just, I haven't seen their application. But obviously the staff there must have felt there's deficiencies, and the company will work with them and resolve them. And the completeness determination is just important for, it starts the clock. Mm-hmm. Because once the application is complete, then the commission has to act on it within right. 6 months. That's why... it's taken some sort of, I guess there's a little more recognition of the significance of that, because before it was just sort of, and I say before 10 years ago, it'd be, well, information would come. There was no regulatory consequence to having it incomplete. The staff would ask for more things and such, but now getting that to completeness determination is important for the staff and for the applicant, because that starts the clock, and if you don't act within 6 months, my former agency, the PSC, then has to go to court and justify why they need an extension. But that's part of the regulatory reform effort that was needed and is being carried out today.
With the ERCO Worldwide plant, that vote was 3-0,
mm-hmm.
and that was simply because what they were asking and Alliant was asking was illegal?
Well, legal suggestions, it's criminal.
it's against the rules.
Yeah, there is no statutory. I mean, that one was a, you know, from a policy, as a policy person, obviously you want to go for the low-hanging fruit in terms of what that company, the product that they, formerly were Vulcan, and they had a unique tariff proposal that would have got a significant amount of the state's overall mercury reductions in one swoop.
About a quarter of it or something?
Yeah, but as a lawyer and as a decision maker at the commission where you're not a legislature, you're a regulator. Your job is to, you know, interpret the law, and the commission's view, not mine, but there was no statutory authorization to approve that tariff, mm-hmm. which for the company, I understand their frustration, but as a regulator, you know, I've said this repeatedly, we don't make it up out there. We can't wing it. Is that a reasonable construction statute? And it was unanimous that was not a tariff we could have lawfully enacted.
Any thoughts on the governor's global warming efforts?
Well, I think the governor's initiative, along with a lot of other states, is trying to address that issue. I mean, Governor Doyle, Governor Schwarzenegger, there's a lot of governors in the country that are trying to aggressively tackle that issue. And I think that's a challenge that, you know, we as a state that's heavily reliant on traditional fossil fuels are going to have to address. And I think we're at a point in the debate where we're sort of moving beyond the awareness. There will be some form of carbon regulation in the future. I don't know if the 110th Congress will do it, or the next one will, or the next, you know, this administration or the next. But I think going beyond recognition to trying to address that issue in any meaningful way, first, you know, you have to set global marks. That's, I think, what President Bush is trying to do now, develop a framework for addressing that with the developing countries like China and India and the Europe, EU and all that. But I think as a former state regulator, you know, in Wisconsin, obviously, there's cost consequences to doing that. And I think when it comes to climate change, it's my personal view, you have to manage expectations like you do for all regulatory issues. I mean, we do that here at Foley and Lardner in terms of managing the client's expectations. The same thing when you're serving in public life. What is the public's expectation? Because there's a variety of things you can do, but I think the truth is over time that we're going to see a much larger deployment of renewables, of energy conservation and management programs, but I still think you're going to need to build power plants to meet future growth and energy requirements. And right now, you know, IGCC is very attractive as the clean, as a clean coal.
That's the coal gasification.
That's integrated gasification combined cycle. That technology is very attractive because it offers the promise of we can continue to use coal, but it doesn't have, obviously, it doesn't have, you're not burning it, so it doesn't have the same emissions. But you do, you know, in Wisconsin, I guess there's two potential issues with IGCC, and those relate to whether or not it's commercially available, the scope and scale that our utilities can use it. Because right now there's only two in the country. I know there's one in Tampa, and it's not the type of technology that can be rapidly deployed right now. Now, experts might disagree with that, but I'm just telling you what I know as a former Wisconsin regulator. We also face the sequestration problem because geologically, our state, someone might challenge that, and I don't have all the answers. I know we put a report out on, Mark Meyer headed that effort on IGCC in February, right before I left, and that report sort of addresses some of the challenges we face with trying to go to cleaner coal technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've approved the most commercially available clean coal technology for the We Energies facilities. That's supercritical pulverized coal. It's significantly cleaner than the units they're replacing, but it's not as clean as IGCC. But I think for a state that is so reliant on coal and nuclear, that is going to be a big challenge going forward.
Do you think a carbon tax is coming, or?
I don't know if it's a tax or a fee or whatever, but I, from reading the trade press and the newspapers, I think there's going to be some proposal either by this administration or Congress to try to impose some sort of carbon regulation. And I don't know if it's going to be a combination of a tax fee or a cap and trade program. I think the jury's still out on what it's actually going to look like. And then companies will have to, you know, adjust their fire and figure out how to adapt to that new form of regulation. They, I mean, that's the thing as a regulator not working in a private law firm. Companies will adapt to whatever, you know, the regulation is. They just want the certainty of what is it going to be, and then we'll... What makes everyone uncomfortable is if the game changes, or if there's a patchwork of a different regulation. I think you are starting to see potential problems with that, because in California, they've effectively ruled away any imports of any coal-fired generation. It's virtually impossible, I think, under their standards, for a coal plant to be built in that state. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Florida recently turned down a $5 billion worth of supercritical pulverized unit, in Texas, the same thing. So I think this is sort of a, for companies, it's a very, you know, the regulatory climate going forward with all this uncertainty, it's not, it's certainly not good for companies that are trying to deliver service to their customers. I think that's probably their biggest challenge for utility management now is, you know, are we heading, if as we head into this, you know, carbon regulation period, what is it going to be? And because the truth is, it's still going to be coal, whether it's super critical or if we ever develop IGCC in a way that's commercially available, it's still going to be the dominant fuel up here in the upper Midwest. Now, I think other parts of the country, nuclear will obviously... Southeast United States, they're aggressively tackling, you know, they're going to be going into the Nuclear Regulatory Commission with as many as 15 to 18 new applications to build baseload nuclear units. Now, unfortunately, we have a moratorium here. But I think, obviously, nuclear is a very important part of our portfolio in Wisconsin. It's going to continue to be nationally, and I think it has to be part of any discussion.
What do you foresee yourself doing in 10 years? Do you think you might ever run for office?
No. No, I have no political aspirations whatsoever. I've enjoyed working in public service, but I think after the last year, you know, it's, you know, our family's been through a lot, you know, being deployed for that long, and I've enjoyed working at the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin very much, people, but I have, I like being a private citizen. I have, a lot of my friends are involved in politics, but I'm just a political observer, and I just want to develop a good law practice and spend time with my family and do the things everybody else, you know, does. So, no, that is not in the cards for me. Mm.